Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. There may still be a few longer pauses than ideal, but I've done my best to keep the scripture, sermon, and the best of our great music. After the sermon, there is typically a silence for prayer, and that moves into music. Thank you to Drew Winters for our theme music, and thank you to Dr. Daniel Rubinoff, our musical director at Jubilee United Church, and also the lead voices of Sharon Christmas LaFleur, Marie Crucioni, Dylan Hillier, and Mike Thomas. And thanks to all the volunteers who read and share their gifts in our services. Music in these services is covered by one license, A733652. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca, or even on my YouTube channel, Norm Seelye. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. For some, the journey has been long. For others, it's been so fast. For some, it's been an easy journey, and for others, it has been a struggle. But here we are. It's a brand new day, a brand new year, and anything is possible. Happy 2022. Let's start at the beginning, shall we? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 4. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together God called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind of which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created the human Ha'adam in God's image. In the image of God, God created him. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life. I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done. And God rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that God had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' For his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known."
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, hearts still carrying the burdens of 2021, hearts born anew in 2022, hearts that are inspired, hearts that are waiting, hearts that are hoping, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. So it's a new year. And so I thought it was time for a new beginning. I thought we should start right there at the very beginning of Genesis and just, I don't know, just listen to Daniel's saxophone and clarinet and just indulge in the story. I know some of you were expecting Epiphany, but that's not really until Thursday. So we're going to celebrate the Magi and their gifts next week. But right now, in the earliest days of this new year, I just want to start again. Don't you? You know, forget all about COVID and elections and schools opened and closed and concerts and theaters and sports canceled. Let's just start again. Let's create something new out of nothing. Just clean the slate. Brianne did it perfectly in her reading of John's Gospel today. I quote, "In the beginning was the Word,
and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. Oh, I have to be honest, those words both calm and excite me at the same time. They are, for me, hope. Let me give you a quick recap, just to put it into context, okay? In chronological order, our early Christian writers are Paul and Mark, Matthew and Luke, and then John. And yes, if you're a stickler, we could also include Peter, John of Patmos, James, Thomas, Mary Magdalene, and a whole bunch of others. But I am trying to keep this sermon concise, abbreviated, short, if you will. Now, for Paul, Jesus becomes divine, as it were, on the cross. In His death and resurrection, Jesus reveals and becomes one with God. And Paul is our first formal theologian. He wrote down what he struggled to understand. That is, how is it that Jesus is different than me? And what does it mean that Jesus is different? That's essentially what Paul struggles with. A little later, the community of Mark, they would recognize the power of Jesus' ministry, and they would suggest that Jesus is one with the very God that He reveals at the moment of His baptism. You may recall, the Holy Spirit descended and God spoke. And so all that follows after that, Jesus' ministry, as well as His death and resurrection, they reveal God's will and God's love. Then the communities that spawned Matthew and Luke, they would add a birth story. The very story that we have just celebrated this Christmas. And they would assert then that God's will and love are revealed in the whole of Jesus' life, the whole nature of that life, including His birth, His ministry, His death, and His resurrection. And then John, well, it seems that he's got to go one further. Jesus is one with God. That is to say, reveals God's love and will from the beginning of all time. There is no time without Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John is also reminding us in the opening of his gospel about the opening lines of all our scripture. All of our Holy Scripture. The very first line in Genesis, which is not, please turn off your cell phones, but in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. Do you see the connection between Genesis and John? It continues. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. What this bit of text tells us is that God created all things. Without God, nothing came into being. And so, you know, we do a little theology and then we say that, well, that there was nothingness and that God created everything out of nothing, right? Nothingness, everythingness. Makes sense, right? And as you nod, okay, you have just passed Greek Philosophy 101. Now, if you want the advanced degree, you will memorize the Latin term creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. That's what the Gentiles, the Greek thinkers, the Latin philosophers, that's what they did with those opening words from Genesis. They gave us this doctrine of creation out of nothing, creatio ex nihilo. And it works. Ugh. So beautifully, right? It asserts that God is not created. God creates. So nothing, you see, is bigger than God. Nothing is older than God. Nothing is distinct or separate from God because everything is created by God. You see how well that works? As a kid, you were likely told that God is everywhere, remember? Well, that's because of creatio ex nihilo. And it also means that we don't have to worship nature because God created it. You don't have to worship nature. You can worship God, and in that, you are worshiping that which is created. God is supreme, not the stars or the seasons or any part of nature that our ancestors may have worshiped, because all these things are created by God. And so the invitation is to examine and explore, enjoy, share, delight, manage, not exploit, but live with it all. Because we are all part of God's creation. Creation out of nothing. Creatio ex nihilo. Which is fabulous if you're a philosopher. It's great if you're a theologian. I'm just not sure what use it is to you if you're a teacher or a nurse or a refugee or someone with a broken heart or a bus driver, an electrician, a student, an accountant, an office manager, a short order cook, a pipe fitter, a graphic artist, a software designer, a caregiver, a minister, anything in the real world. Creation out of nothing? What does it mean? Like, what does it mean, creation out of nothing? I don't know about you, but I don't get nothing. I have no experience of nothing. I really don't know what nothing is. Because for me, there's always something. As unfamiliar with nothingness as we are, I suspect that the writer of Genesis, he too was unfamiliar. He wasn't a philosopher. He wasn't a scientist. Because you see, he didn't say that God created the universe out of nothing. He said the earth was a formless void. And that's not nothing. That's shapeless and clueless and hopeless and utterly absurd. But that's something. And you know what? I know what that's like. I have had moments in my life where everything seemed shapeless and clueless and hopeless and absurd. Have you been paying attention for the last 21 months? Have you lined up to get a booster shot at a little pharmacy that a friend told you about? Then you know about clueless and hopeless, shapeless, absurd. Have you found yourself sitting alone, not knowing what to do? Overwhelmed by everything, sure that there's no hope and no way forward, then you know. Have you despaired? Have you fought depression? Have you been through a divorce? Have you dared to engage with the outcasts of our society? Have you been bankrupt, broke, or so far in debt that you can't imagine how you'll ever get out? Then you know what shapeless, clueless, hopeless, and absurd is. You get it. The writer of Genesis, he said that darkness covered the face of the deep. Darkness ain't nothing. If you've ever experienced darkness, and most of us have, it is something. Something that we don't like. It has no light. It has no hope. The writer of Genesis said that a wind from God, God's Spirit swept over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said that the light was good. Light into darkness, hope in the face of hopelessness, love in the midst of absurdity, order out of chaos. You get it? The writer of Genesis is not telling us how the universe began, because that's not important to him. Who cares how it began? It's here. We're in it. He's not even philosophizing about nothingness and somethingness. He is writing about the experience of God, that first cognitive experience of God. And he's telling us that God brings order out of chaos. And I understand that. Oh, I do understand it. I know about chaos. Oh, man, do I know about chaos. Have you met my family? Have you looked at yours? Have you been watching the news? You know, pipelines, water rights, land claims, carbon tax, privilege pronouns, statues, history, homeless encampments, supply chain delays, employment war, fake news, broken promises. Do you live in this fast-paced, modernly, digitally enhanced, quantum-defined world of DNA sequencing and a phone that tells you everything you ever needed to know? except that you know now that that information is being manipulated, then you understand chaos. I needed this story to start the year because that's the world that I live in. It's the world that we all live in. It's hard to grasp, hard to hold on to because everything keeps changing and it's formless. Billionaires go into space while those living near the poverty line are living in tents. Folks in long-term care are once again being shut in from visitors. Food prices are going up. COVID numbers going up even higher. And it's dark. And even as we scramble to get a third vaccine, nearly all of us have at least one family member or friend who refuses to get even one. But we don't like to talk about it. And we know that much of the world is about 2 years behind us in access to vaccines. It's all incredibly absurd. And suddenly then those words have new meaning. God creates order out of chaos. Yes, please. That gives me hope. Creation out of nothing? I don't care. I'm all out of nothing for God to create from. But I have lots of chaos into which God is invited. And you know, I think John understood that too. You'll remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. The text was written in Greek. And the Greek word that John uses is logos. Logos means word. But it also means order, thought, principle, to count, to put into order. In the beginning was order. And order was with God. And order was God. From the beginning, order was with God. And order was made flesh and dwelt among us. I don't think John is trying to one-up the earlier writers. You say Jesus was Christ upon his resurrection. You say it happened at his baptism. You say it happened at his birth. Well, I say it always was. No, I don't think that's what's happening. I think he's explaining the experience of God in Jesus. It brings order. Always has, always will. Jesus came to a time of political unrest, military and foreign occupation, to a faith weighed down by rules and splintered into hundreds of factions. Do we fight the Romans? Do we consort with outsiders? Do we shun the less faithful Jews? Into this chaos, Jesus says, love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And in that, Jesus offers order to chaos. I love my neighbors. I try to. I will confess that I am tiring of some of my anti-vax friends from high school days. And when I'm on social media and people start to complain about how rough things are for them more than anybody else, I do get irritated. I am beginning to lose patience with people who insist that religion is responsible for all the evil, all the violence in the world, and that my continuing to believe in God is a sign of weakness and an inability to recognize right from wrong. Oh, yeah, and then there's the guy who doesn't clean up after his dog as they walk away from my lawn. Yeah, love is hard sometimes. Sometimes chaos runs amok in my head and in my heart. You know, I want to grab my unvaxxed friends and family and just poke them in the arm. I want to shout at my friends who are full of righteous indignation about how they're being victimized and ask them how they feel about the folks who have no benefits, no jobs, no pension at all. And I wonder what they have been willing to do to make things better. I mean, other than just sit around and whine about how bad it is. What steps have you taken for somebody other than yourself? And I want to shout at my anti-God proclaimers and get them to explain how their devotion to capitalism or inalienable personal rights or bad science is somehow better for the world than my belief in a God who is revealed in Jesus. Yeah, I need God to help me figure out right from wrong. Because you know what? When I look around the world, at the Middle East, the Far East, or my friends in East York, it's not always obvious to me what should be done. And you know what? There is a part of me itching to borrow someone else's dog and follow that guy home. But then, love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself comes back. And I start to find order. I really do. I remember that people are afraid of what they don't understand. And I realize that yelling has never inspired anybody. Instead, I hear their fears. I listen to them respectfully. I try to share my experience, if not my wisdom. And I realize that many of us are feeling very fragile right now, and the smallest of tremors in our lives feels like a massive earthquake. Yeah. I think about the many ways that we all tried to come to grips with the unknown and find meaningful ways to live in hope rather than fear. And how Jesus arrived in a manger, not on a throne making demands, but meeting us where we were. I guess I can meet my friends and associates where they are and listen to them. And order descends and peace abides. I smile and I realize, you know, by spring, my neighbor's dog's gifts, they're probably going to help me have a better lawn. I won't be afraid when we don't agree or when you tell me of your pain and I can't fix it. I won't run away from that. And I won't run away when you share your hurt, and I can help you through it. It's not just a principle, love others. No, for me, it's the promise that creation continues as long as there is chaos. As long as there is anything that is formless and dark and absurd. Creation's not a thing that happened long ago when there was nothing and now has stopped because everything is something. No, it's ongoing. It's happening right now. I don't know about you, but when I do a puzzle, I can get really frustrated if I can't finish it. And I begin to think that, well, maybe they made a mistake in the puzzle and it can't be solved. But I remind myself, no, the puzzle can be solved. And when I know that it can be solved, I can patiently keep at it until I find the order. In the words, in the numbers, in the knots, whatever the puzzle may be. Creation out of chaos invites us to keep looking when we're frustrated and perplexed. Creation out of chaos assures us that there will be order. More than that, we're invited to be part of the order, part of the peace. Later, writers might even call that the kingdom of God. Order out of chaos. Order in the midst of chaos. So, as I begin 2022, I'm no longer looking for a clean slate. I'm not letting go of 2021 with a vengeance. No, I am going to carry some of the joy from last year into this new year. I'm also going to bring along that chaos of another year in pandemic. I'm going to bring that chaos into this new year because that chaos assures me that God is still creating. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. can't wait to see what happens next. God bless you. Let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Let us go from this moment into a new year. And as we go into the new year, let us bring some of the last year with us. Let us bring the joy that it might inspire us into a new year. And let us bring the chaos that it might provide God all that God needs to continue creating, that together we might make a year better than we ever imagined. Go forth, creating a new year, knowing that God, the Creator, is with you, knowing that Jesus walks with us always, and knowing that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us until we gather again virtually or in person one day. Amen.